It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC. 100 years ago, the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand kicked off a world war. Today, we see high-tech drones used to take out carefully selected targets in remote regions of Afghanistan and Pakistan. Assassination, these days, is almost commonplace. As a CIA agent, Robert Baer chased assassins and was involved in planning actions with deadly targeted force himself. He's now retired from the CIA, and part of the story of his service has been told in best-selling books and in the film Syriana. He currently serves as a national security affairs analyst for CNN. He has reflected on the practice of assassination and the rules of this political act in a new book. It's called The Perfect Kill, 21 Laws for Assassins. And we welcome Robert Baer to the show. Robert, thanks for being with us today.
Great being here.
So you start off your book with a visit you received from two FBI agents. Why did they want to interview you?
It was for the attempted murder of Saddam Hussein. I'd just gotten back from Iraq, my team and I. I was at the CIA at the time, and we were accused of attempting to murder Saddam Hussein illegally. The fact is we had secret orders, what's called a lethal finding. You know, the FBI looked into it and eventually, you know, exonerated us. But I'll tell you, it was a wake-up call when you get interviewed by the FBI for attempted murder.
This was something that you didn't think was in any way violating law?
Well, I mean, it was everything we did in Iraq. We sent in messages back to Washington. We had a text sent. We had authority from the president and Congress to get rid of Saddam Hussein. And this question, how would the violence occur? You know, we were waiting for Washington to tell us whether we were within those lines or not. We never got an answer to our cables. And the only answer we got was come home to Washington and see the FBI. So what I'm saying here is that Washington is very ambiguous toward assassination. You know, they send people out in the field, whether it's the SEALs or the CIA, and can't make up how they want it done, make up their minds.
So you joined the agency in the late 70s. Are CIA officers now still obligated to sign the executive order, I guess it's 12333, a result of the Church Pike Committee got together after some of the debacles that we saw with the attempts on Castro and said the CIA shouldn't assassinate people. And for a long time, CIA officers had to sign something that say they were not going to assassinate people. Did you sign that order?
I signed it. They still sign it. And the people that killed Al-Awlaki, the imam from Chicago, I think, or Detroit, was assassinated with a drone missile in Yemen. Same thing. But they just redefine the word as they go. I mean, I call it assassination. The lawyers choose not to.
You say that there today is a conspicuous absence of classical assassination. Is this because of technology? Are things different now? And if so, how?
It's because the places we can get to people, whether it's in Europe or South America, it's just easier to grab a rendition or have the local government grab them and put them on trial or take them to Guantanamo. So the areas of the world where we can't get into, like tribal areas, Pakistan, they use assassination drones. But, I mean, they wouldn't dare send an American up there to get somebody, grab them, or assassinate them. It's too dangerous.
How have the drones changed political assassination? Is it maybe just too easy and too remote now? You write about some of the operations trying to take out Saddam Hussein. Very complicated, very risky, lots of people involved in dangerous situations. Now, with the drones, it's very impersonal, but maybe not as accurate.
It makes it much too easy. You can, you know, if it's parts of the world you can't see, the press isn't up there, you can go after anybody you want, really, and define them as an enemy. But going after a world leader like Saddam, you really have to think about it. You do have to put, for instance, air cover up and put people on the ground and the rest of it. You have to be very careful how you do this. And it has to be a worthy target. But now they've got things like signature strikes. You see somebody from satellite photography and say, well, look, he looks guilty, let's kill him. I think that's a huge mistake. At the end of the day, you're making more enemies than you're killing.
That's one of the things that you say is a rule. In your book, The Perfect Kill, you lay out 21 laws for assassins. And one of them has to do with just killing the intended target and no one else. Elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, I mean, the whole point of violence, the political violence, is to preserve force and avoid war. So once you get into the situation, it looks almost like a strategic bombing. you might as well be at war. You might as well put ground troops on or declare war. But getting rid of one person, let's go back to Saddam. Clearly, if we'd gotten rid of him in 1995 when I was there, we wouldn't have had to invade in 2003. We would have ended up saving hundreds of thousands of lives and all that destruction, and you wouldn't have chaos in Iraq. That was the whole point. We wanted to get rid of Saddam and his two sons and avoid putting American troops on the ground. What was wrong with that? I mean, it made sense to me, saving lives.
Well, that gets into the means of assassination. I think that since it is personal, what is wrong with it for people that aren't involved in the situation is that it violates kind of a certain kind of morality that is clouded by actual war. And I wonder if you can discuss someone that you yourself were tracking, the Hezbollah strategist. You write about him a lot in your book. It's the focus of what you get into with discussing assassination, and that's Haj Radwan. What did you learn in your chase of this Hezbollah assassin about assassination?
Well, to the book, I spent all 21 chapters describing my hunt for him. And ineffectively, I describe what he did is refining political murder to get what he wanted. He wasn't on our side, okay? No question about that, but he was very good. He was clearly better than we were at all levels. And through political violence, he effectively took over Lebanon. He killed the president. He attacked the U.S. Marines in 1983, killed 241, and so on and so on, drove us out. Something short of a full war in 1999, he killed an Israeli general, which made the Israelis leave, avoided a longer war there. And he himself was assassinated in 2008. The point is, in that case, he had been out of the business for a couple of years. He was retired. So going after him that late in the game was just an act of revenge. I don't think he was an imminent threat. I could be wrong about that. But, I mean, it was an interesting structure for the book because the protagonist in this is really setting the rules of assassination. I'm trying to kill. It's probably a first in a book, in a nonfiction book.
So when you did track him, is it harder to try to assassinate an assassin because they know what to expect?
He got involved in political murder when he was about 15 years old and it sort of never stopped. And then took all these rules that I bring up and applied them. He just never appeared in public. I mean, in pictures. And of course, this is before Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. He was never to be seen in mosques. He moved his residence. He always went out a different door. He came in. He never carried guns. He keeps his name off organizational charts. And he went right down the line. You couldn't tell. And he rode little motor scooters around and had people around him. A lot of them were family and weren't about to betray him. He was impossible to find. And the Israelis were after him, too. I mean, their best teams and their best people were out to kill him. And they failed as well.
Now, you eventually left Beirut after the place you were living in was shelled. Was that, in your estimation, because of your attempt to go after Haj Radwan?
They wouldn't extend me in Beirut. I did my full 2 years there. For them, it was, you know, I think it was enough for anybody in the Civil War. You tend to think like the Lebanese and act like them, and you know, a little too close to the edge. So Langley pulled me out, and after these various incidents, I don't think at that point in time in the 80s there was a chance to get the guy, and I sort of knew it, but not for lack of trying.
So who eventually did take him out? Do we know?
There's the question. It wasn't, let me leave it, it just wasn't the Israelis. The Israelis took credit for it in the press, but I think we're about ready to hear the story.
Can you tell the origin of an assassination by the method of the killing?
He was assassinated in Damascus in 2008 in a lightly traveled part of a suburb. And I think the whole intent was there would be no collateral damage. I mean, no other victims, and there weren't any. He was walking behind his car when a car bomb went off. I think it was a shape charge, killed the guy, and only him. No one was wounded. So that tells you that there was a lot of control at the scene. I mean, that's hard to do in a city, just kill one person with a car bomb. Let me leave it at that.
Robert Baer was a career CIA officer and awarded the Career Intelligence Medal. He currently is a commentator for CNN, and his new book is called The Perfect Kill, 21 Laws for Assassins. Well, Robert Baer, thanks so much for talking to us about your latest project, this book.
Thanks.